J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
I don't eat well. I like buying donuts. I feel bad for the donut ladies, because people can't make up their mind in these places. You'd think the donut ladies would just snap and start shooting people. Out! Everybody out! Go on! I don't know what it is about buying donuts, but people freak out. They go in there, okay, okay. I'm looking around, all right, I need a dozen donuts. Oh, you have a lot of donuts. Okay, I'm gonna start with four chocolate. I want two twisty goos. I want a lemon twitter. I want a raspberry puff. I want a honey curl. Two chocolate. No, one. Put them back. I want a Bavarian apple crunch. Get the ladder. Hey. Why don't you go outside and think it over, huh? It's a big decision. Can't blow donut day. But the donut ladies have learned how to get back at you. They do the subtraction for you in front of the other customers, make you look like an idiot. You go in there, yeah, I'd like a dozen donuts. I'll start with seven chocolate. You have five left. Oh. Okay, if I order one more, then how many would I have left? How many would I have then, donut lady? That's what I need to know, and now!
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky, you're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Wednesday, January 19th, 2022, 293 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. How you doing, kids? Welcome to JCOnTheLine.com. You know, it's only 59 days away. 59 days. That's less than 2 months. Daylight saving time. All right. 59 days. Hold on, everybody. Yesterday on the podcast, and you probably caught this, I did not. I inadvertently gave you the wrong weather forecast. I was saying that this morning when we woke up, it was going to be in single digits, and that's still 24 hours away. So that's going to be tomorrow morning. But single digits probably tomorrow morning and then the morning after that. It's actually not terrible out there right now, but just be aware of that. You're going to have some cold, cold days coming up here, even colder nights. Yesterday, I went to the grocery store, and you wouldn't believe it, no chicken. There was actually one little package of chicken wings, and other than that, they didn't have a damn chicken in the whole place. And I talked to the butcher, who, by the way, is the nephew of Tony La Russa. His name is Mike, and he runs the meat and the poultry and everything. He runs a little department at a grocery store down here in Florida, where I am now. And I often wondered, what makes the guys in the meat department so special? Because you have workers all over the place, obviously doing very important work, stocking the shelves and just running the store and everything. But you go over to the meat department, over to the butchers, and they have 8x10 glossies with their name on the picture hanging up above the counter. I'm like, wow, who cut that deal? someone with the union? Or something. All right, now the butchers, you guys get an 8x10 glossy. But anyhow, we were talking about it. He said, yeah, the supply chain stuff is a problem. But this is the biggest problem is that all the workers who work in the poultry plants, wherever those are, all over the country, everybody's sick. They're all calling in sick. There's COVID all over the place. There's nobody to grab the chickens and process them. And that's why we ain't got no chicken. Now, I did go to another grocery store down the road, and they had some chicken, but they didn't have a lot of it. But at least they got some chicken to have for dinner last night. And then I think it was Toyota that said in February, which is a month away, obviously, they're going to shut down production of a bunch of their plants. They do not have any microchips. The cars are all assembled. They're all ready. But when COVID hit, a lot of the companies, as you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know here, a lot of the companies, the whole microchip, industry, shut down. And they're still trying to catch up, and they're not catching up. And so They're like, it's pointless to try to make any more cars because we can't complete the manufacturing process without the chip. Have a nice day. So that's sort of the end of that. They always say that legislation in the United States government lags behind what's going on usually technologically. In other words, somebody invents some sort of electronic gadget and it does something for everybody here in the United States for the first time. And then people immediately look at it and go, now how can I inject my poison into that and use it for a purpose that it was not designed for, which would, put a whole bunch of money in my pocket. And then the legislators eventually, I mean, you got Chuck Grassley up there. He's 88 years old. They're trying to explain Instagram to him. All right, good luck. So it's usually the acceleration of technology that leaves legislation in the dust, and then they got to try to catch up. But then it also applies to a situation like this, porch piracy. Turns out most of the laws don't even cover it, and the porch pirates know that. So like, I'll go out there and steal that stuff off the porch. If I get caught, the worst that's going to happen is a little misdemeanor. I've already got a rap sheet. This ain't exactly going to stand out. Not going to get in that much trouble. I'll be back out on the streets grabbing stuff off porches again in another week. And so we have a legislator in the state of Missouri basically saying, hey, let's do something about this, maybe? So they're trying to pass a law that would make your first conviction on porch piracy a misdemeanor. And then if you do it again, everything from that point forward becomes a felony. Pretty good idea. Now let's see what dumbass objects to it. this is a Republican legislator in the state of Missouri. I think I got a pretty good idea here. I think everybody's going to like this. And somebody will come along and say, no, we think that's too severe. Shut up. I was going to do this story yesterday, and I didn't get a chance. But if you're on a diet, you may have looked for ways to sneak a few extra bites without them officially counting toward your calorie total. But a new study is out, and it's blowing the whistle on that. The study warns that people have a tendency to underestimate the impact of appetizers and foods shared with others because they may generate a feeling of lack of ownership. Like, oh, sure, I'll have a few of those potato things you got there on your plate here, but I'm not going to get my own order of it. I'll just have some of yours. In fact, it's an example from the study. They considered sharing a bowl of potato chips 15% less fattening than the same amount of chips split onto two plates. The first time I ever met and subsequently interviewed Charlie Gito downtown, I went in there because I was just starting the job doing television at Channel 5. I was looking for easy stories to sort of, you know, ease into things. I didn't tackle anything too terrible in the first couple of months that I was at Channel 5 back in the mid-1980s. And so I was like, you know what? Charlie Gito has all these celebrity photographs, autographs. You know, a lot of restaurants do that. My pals down at John Tony's on the Hill do that. But all those fancy restaurants, you know, and it didn't even have to be fancy because even the delis and stuff like that do it too. But you go in there and they have all these celebrity shots. You go into Woofie's and my picture is still there. Thank you. And so I figured, let me go down there, and what we'll do, we'll get a shot of the movie star or the celebrity who's on the wall, and then Charlie will tell a little story about what it's like to serve that person, what they like to eat, and maybe a little amusing anecdote. And that's when he told us the Tommy Lasorda story. And he had a unique relationship with Tommy Lasorda. Obviously, he loved having him come into the restaurant when the Dodgers were in town, but also Lasorda was always such a goof that you never knew what he was going to do or what he was going to say. And he tells me that, Tommy Lasorda comes in and they go around the table, take all the orders, and all Lasorda ever orders is a salad. And people look at him and go, a salad? Look at the big gut on this guy. What? How does that work? He's like, yeah, he just orders a salad, but during the entire meal, and, you know, this guy sit around for 2 or 3 hours, you know, eating and just, chit-chat, and it looks like a scene out of The Sopranos. And he takes his fork, and he goes around, and he's stabbing food off the plates of the other 9 people who are at the table. And then at the end of the meal, he goes, I just had a salad. No, it doesn't work that way, Tommy. Speaking of food, last Friday, Independence High School in Ohio realized they didn't have enough cafeteria workers to make food for the hundreds of students who were expecting it. So they placed a massive pizza order for everybody. And they just ordered pizzas for the whole school. How cool was that? And you probably already heard about this too. There's a new dumb TikTok challenge that I believe comes from the same school that produced the Tide Pod Challenge, where adolescents were eating soap. This one is called the Sleepy Chicken Challenge. It involves boiling chicken in half a bottle of NyQuil. It's supposed to be a cold remedy, but could actually cause an overdose and kill you. It's the same people who won't take the vaccine because they're like, well, I don't really know what's in it. But give me some of that sleepy chicken. I loves the NyQuil. And I've been wanting to talk about this for a long time. A new study named the 5 best plant-based foods for brain health as you age. Here's the list. Cocoa, coffee, mushrooms, red wine, and polyphenol-rich foods, which include apples, green tea, blueberries, and oranges. Now, did you notice what is missing from that list? The superfood, beets. That's the new scam out there. And one of the chief scammers is somebody whose name came up on the podcast, I think it was 2 days ago, and that is Dana Loesch, conservative talk show host Dana Loesch from St. Louis, doesn't live in St. Louis anymore. I believe she lives in Texas, and she's got one of those horrible right-wing, really, really hard right-wing midday shows that's in syndication. And she's making a fortune, and she's become a big star, and because she has, somebody came along and said, we represent the powdered beet industry, and we would like you to be our product spokesperson. And she says, sure. So if you turn on your TV at like 2:30 in the morning on one of those weird channels that you don't usually watch anyhow, you will see Dana Loesch's half-hour infomercial for beets. And you get a little jar full of red powder, and you put that in some water, and then you drink that, and I don't know, you turn into one of her listeners? I don't know. But they keep referring to the stuff as the superfood. And this is not the first time that somebody has tried to use that term to describe something that they're trying to sell. And there is, of course, no such thing as a superfood. As has always been the case, there's stuff that you can eat, mostly that comes out of the ground, that is much better for you from a health perspective. And that's why we're supposed to be eating anyhow, to maintain good health. But we've known since we were little kids that you eat the leafy greens and don't eat a lot of, you know, sugar and preservatives and additives and more sugar and stuff like that and all that fat and salt. Well, you'll have a healthier life and a stronger, more productive body. So we've always known that. If you eat more spinach than potato chips, you're probably a healthier person. And it probably also represents the other choices that you make in life. But the term superfoods, that was just created by some advertising executive somewhere to try to move some product off the shelves. There is no such thing as a superfood, and there's no indication that drinking beet juice is somehow going to greatly improve your quality of life. And what a surprise that a hard right-wing conservative talk show host would be pushing that stuff. Well, you know, because they espouse such bizarre political beliefs that, you know, a lot of big companies, corporations, they don't want anything to do with it. That's why Saturday Night Live is always making fun of Laura Ingraham and her list of her list of advertisers, because there aren't any real ones. It's all these ones that say, you know, call this toll-free 800 number if you want a jar of this crap. See, but all this goes back to the days of Nutrisystem. And I see, by the way, that they are back, Terry Bradshaw. And by the way, have you seen Terry Bradshaw lately? He's bigger than he's ever been. He slimmed down for a couple of months there while he was doing the Nutrisystem thing. And while they said, all right, now, Terry, here's the thing. We're going to pay you $1 million. You do the Nutrisystem thing, but we really need you to lose the weight because we got to get pictures. We got to get the before and after. And so he did, and whether it was the Nutrisystem or whether it was his motivation to lose the weight so he could earn the money that they were promising, it was more likely the case. And then as soon as you go off it, boom. Those yo-yo diets are the worst anyhow. The dietitians and the doctors, and especially the heart guys, you know, the cardiologists, they're like, that's the worst thing you can do to your body. You don't have your body going up and down, weight-wise, it's no good for you. But there was a time in the 80s and 90s, and really even into the 2000s, where almost everybody that you heard on the radio was doing commercials for Nutrisystem. Almost everybody. This is that stuff that said you take a teaspoon of this powder, you throw it into a glass, you drink it after your last meal of the evening, and you don't eat anything more after you drink this stuff, and the weight just melts. That was a big word with them. It melts. The weight melts off of you and turns into lean muscle, which is absurd. Anyhow, there's no weight loss program or product that would turn inactivity into muscle. The only way you turn body tissue into muscle is by vigorous exercise. You can't get muscles by drinking a glass of something with some powder in it and then, you know, just lay there and all of a sudden you're muscular. It doesn't work that way. But it didn't stop everybody from saying that for years and years and years. And then they had this bright idea, the Nutrisystem people did, let's turn this more into a competition. The better you lie, you know, the heavier you lay this stuff on, you just ladle these lies on every day. We're going to write checks for people because we listen to all this stuff. And if you do a particularly good job of lying about the effects of Nutrisystem, you know, the benefits, we're going to give you money for that. And people really started going nuts. I saw somebody handed it to me. They had put it right in my hand. A woman I was working with back in the late 90s, the check for $32,000. $32,000 on top of everything that she was making for doing the commercials in the first place. Like, how did you do that? It's like, they like the commercial. And the more they like the commercial, the more money they give you. And this went on for years. It went on for years. And so, I think it was the early 2000s, I was working at K-Hits at the time, the whole Nutrisystem lie just burst open. The company went bankrupt. There were all these accusations, you know, indicating what I just told you, that the whole thing is more of a pyramid scheme than anything that having to do with health or weight loss. And so one day, the whole thing just went kaboom, and the TV stations went running around because out of all of the most prominent broadcasters in St. Louis, there was only one person who didn't sign up to do the Nutrisystem commercials because he knew it was bullshit, and he didn't like to the idea of leading his loyal listeners who had been so good to him. He didn't want to lead them into some area that he knew was bullshit from the beginning. And his name was J.C. Corcoran. And so I still remember Channel 4 coming over and saying, you never did Nutrisystem commercials, did you? I said, no, I didn't. Could we come over and talk to you? And so they put me on TV to talk about this big lie that the St. Louis, and it wasn't just in St. Louis, it was every major city in the country, but everybody pounding out this Nutrisystem stuff, and it was always bullshit. It was always bullshit. So that was probably, like I said, 2003, 2004, somewhere in there. And then they disappeared until just a couple of years ago, and then they started going with big-time athletes primarily. Like I said, no other ones are coming to mind right now except Terry Bradshaw. And again, like I said, all right, Terry, you're fat. Let's get the picture. All right, now go on the Nutrisystem, come back in 6 months, and you better have lost about 60 pounds. And sure enough, he did. And they wrote him the check for the $1 million, and then they said, all right, we're done. Oh, okay. And he went back to his normal lifestyle, and this time, well, like I said, turn on the TV and take a look, see what he looks like now. He's even bigger than he was to start with, and that's the problem with those yo-yo diets. That's what happens. So there are no superfoods. And if somebody on the radio is telling you how to lose weight, dismiss it immediately because everybody I know on the radio is fat to begin with. You know why? Because in your job, you probably get to get up and move around a little bit. Or maybe, you know, maybe you're working in construction and you're like, hey, this is a great job because not only am I getting paid, I'm building something, I'm doing something constructive with my life. At the same time, I'm staying in shape because of all this hard work. Or, yeah, my brother-in-law just worked the floor at a clothing store and He was on his feet 8 hours a day, just running back and forth, up and down here, from the dress department over to the suit department, over to the socks, to the whole thing. And I told him, I said, "How you're in great shape. How do you stay in shape?" He goes, "Just walk on the floor." But in radio, you walk in, you sit down, and you don't move for like 3 or 4 hours. We just sit here and we yak away while our hearts tell our brains, "I think this guy's dead." And now this.
The A-List interview.
Bill Murray.
Had Second City, and that led to Saturday Night Live in New York and then Hollywood and films and all that. What might you have done?
I'd probably done 8 to 10. When you incarcerate me, I get cranky. I don't know what I'd have done, really. I'd failed at every occupation before, and fortunately the mercy of show business appeared, and there it was. It was just an accident. I started working at the Second City, and all of a sudden they said, "Well, we'll pay you for it." This is a job I like, and you have to have fun to do it well, so I felt I'd beat something by doing that.
Massive baseball fan Bill Murray right there. Grew up on the Chicago Cubs, but appreciates the rivalry between the Cubs and the Cardinals, and so we like him for that. And speaking of the Cardinals, I can hop in the car and be at the spring training facility in Jupiter, Florida in about 3 hours, but we're still fighting COVID, and now we're fighting a lockout on top of it, and the question becomes, are we even going to have baseball this year? Probably. Will the season start on time? Probably not. Will a lot of spring training get wiped out? Probably. Thanks for nothing. Oh, our buddy Louie Anderson is in the hospital. Louie lives in Vegas now, but he's from Minnesota, as you probably know. Made many, many stops in St. Louis and shot, as a matter of fact, an hour-long Showtime comedy special at the American Theater downtown. And a great friend of the show. I'm on a baseball team down here right now with a guy he grew up with. And that guy's also a stand-up comedian, although not as successful as Louie has been, obviously. This guy, by the way, complains about everything. But anyhow, Louie is got, what is it? It's the some sort of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. The prognosis is actually quite good. But Louie's getting up there in years right now, and so you always worry about that. Amy Schumer, in the meantime, got liposuction and is down, get this, down 170 pounds. She lost more than a whole person. Now, she's been sick also, endometriosis, and said she's finally feeling good. She's got a baby now, showed off her figure in a black bathing suit, and looks about as good as Amy Schumer is ever going to look. When you donate blood to the Red Cross this month, you can be entered into a sweepstakes to win a trip for two to the Super Bowl. It's also another prize package that includes a laser projection screen and speakers so the winner's home is game ready. Daniel Radcliffe going to star in a biopic. And by the way, there's no such thing as a biopic. People don't know how to pronounce that word, spelled B-I-O-P-I-C, and it is a biography picture, a biography motion picture, thus the term biopic. Biopic doesn't even, that doesn't even mean anything, so please say it right. Anyhow, Daniel Radcliffe going to star in this movie about Weird Al Yankovic. It's called Weird, the Weird Al Yankovic story, and production begins next month. When it's done, it'll be available for free on the Roku channel. Bono, turns out, is not a fan of his own voice on U2's early music because he says it sounded strained. He says he only recently became a decent singer. He still doesn't like the band name, though. All right, tonight, late night, the lovely Jessica Chastain and Ralph Macchio. I'm with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel's got Rachel Brosnahan. Christine Baranski, I'm with Colbert. Corden has Dakota Johnson, Josh Gad, Judy Dench, and Uma Abedin. Don't send her a dick pic. She's out with Seth Meyers and Ariana DeBose, fresh off her tremendous debut on Saturday Night Live over the weekend, is on with Trevor Noah. Sidney Poitier apparently was pretty darn sick when he died. Cause of death, heart failure, prostate cancer, and Alzheimer's. There's a lot going on there. If you remember the John Candy movie, Cool Runnings, you'll like this because the Jamaican bobsled team is back for the first time in 24 years. Willem Dafoe is making his Saturday Night Live debut on January 29th. Katy Perry, the musical guest. Chelsea Handler going to star in a Peacock series based on her own memoir. CBS canceling Bull after six seasons. That guy's been accused of some pretty awful stuff involving sexual harassment and everything. The Grammys have been rescheduled for April 3rd in Las Vegas. Trevor Noah will be the host. Birthdays today, Pete Buttigieg, who I think has got a pretty bright future in politics. Joe Biden's Secretary of Transportation is 40 today. Jody Sweet in Full House, 40. Frank Caliendo, one of the funniest people working. Just saw him here in Florida about 6 months ago, and he was great, 48 today. Drea De Matteo from The Sopranos, 50. Sean Wayans, 51. Katie Segal from The Conners. Tonight, Joe Walsh doing some sort of, I don't know if it's a cameo, a role, I don't know what. All I know is he's not playing himself, but he's on The Conners tonight. Katie Segal, 68 today. Paula Deen, racist, 75. Dolly Parton, still looking great at 76. Shelley Fabre had an opportunity to interview her once. She's a lovely gal. Johnny Angel, of course, from Coach and the Donna Reed Show, 78. Tippi Hedren, Melanie Griffith's mother and star of The Birds, 92 today. And Robert Palmer and Janis Joplin both would have had birthdays today. The song Don't Stop by Fleetwood Mac, permanently ruined on this day 29 years ago in 1993 when Fleetwood Mac reunited to perform at Bill Clinton's inauguration. 28 years ago today, 1994, going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, The Animals, The Band, Duane Eddy, Grateful Dead, Elton John, John Lennon, Bob Marley, Rod Stewart, all on this day 28 years ago today. 16 years ago today, Wilson Pickett died of a heart attack at the age of 64. Mustang Sally. 7 years ago today, Tiger Woods lost one of his front teeth when a guy accidentally hit him in the face with a camera while trying to get to the winner's podium after Tiger's then-girlfriend Lindsey Vonn won the World Cup skiing title. I see she's back, by the way. I saw her in a promo for the Olympics coverage, which begins in a couple of weeks. Saw her over the weekend. They were running that during the football game. And I love stories like this. Because it's, what, like 40 years later, 30 years later? I don't know. The movie Footloose, Kevin Bacon. We already know he didn't do his own dancing. We know Jennifer Beals didn't do her own dancing in Flashdance. We know all that stuff. But it also turns out that the movie Footloose didn't have a big enough budget to shoot a big dance scene at the ending. But they showed it to what they call test audiences. It's like, okay, the movie's done, we think. Let's show it to some test audiences to see what they think before we release it to the general public. And the test audiences felt so cheated that the studio paid $200,000 to come back, get everybody back together, and shoot the dance scene just 6 weeks before the movie opened, and then they spliced it in, and the rest, as they say, is history. Today is National Popcorn Day, so a lot of movie theaters are giving it out for free. Or just make some at home if you're staying in. A recent poll found it's the number one must-have for a perfect movie night. Here are some more facts for National Popcorn Day. Only 8% of us hate popcorn. 92% of us love it or at least like it. Well, I'll tell you what. Try working the popcorn counter at a movie theater for 2 years, as I did back in the late 60s, and then tell me if you still like popcorn. I didn't eat popcorn for almost 15 years after I left that job because it says you just learn to hate the smell of the damn stuff. Now, I'm fine with that. I still don't eat a lot of it. Even with the variety we have now, butter and salt are still our favorite flavors. Two recent polls put butter at number one with about 30% of the vote in both. After butter and salt, white cheddar is next. Caramel corn and kettle corn also ranked high. Only 2% of us prefer it plain with no flavoring. Women like kettle corn more than men. 17% yes, 13% of guys yes. Movie theater popcorn is our favorite type, but if we're making it at home, our favorite brands are Orville Redenbacher and Pop Secret. The brand Act 2 placed third. Not all types of corn are poppable. The hull or skin of the kernel has to be thick enough to let the pressure build up, so they use a specific type of corn for popping. Popcorn can shoot 3 feet in the air when it pops. I could too when I was 17. And it pops into two basic shapes, butterfly or mushroom. Butterfly is more common. Mushroom is when the whole thing looks like one round fluffy cloud. On this date, one of the biggest thrills of my life is I was able to go to a newsstand on a Sunday. And by the way, did you see that they shut down World News in Clayton? God, pretty soon there's going to be a reason to go to Clayton. They already shut down Library Limited and tore it down. I'm going to do a dissertation one of these days about Library Limited. That was the coolest place in St. Louis for a lot of years. But yeah, they put me on the cover of the Sunday supplement in the Globe Democrat, and I still have the blow-up of that on the wall here. That was on this date, 1985. I was over at the Westport Playhouse on this date, 1990, emceeing for George Carlin, one of those great shows. And on this date, 1996, I was sitting 2 feet away from one of the most beautiful, charming, precocious children I ever had the opportunity to interview. I believe she was 16 at the time, might be 15, I'm not sure. She was one of the stars of a movie called Beautiful Girls. We are talking about Natalie Portman. Quite diminutive, but just beautiful and smart. Like 15 years old, I'm sitting across from her going, this kid's using about 3% of her brain to talk to me. But she was charming. She was charming. And a very uneven movie, Beautiful Girls, but worth seeing, I think. Timothy Hutton, Uma Thurman, and did I mention Natalie Portman, who, you know, when you see her in this movie, you're like, how did she learn to be this great an actress at such a young age? Her performance is absolutely stunning in this movie, Beautiful Girls. And a movie I liked a lot for a lot of different reasons, Mr. Holland's Opus, was released to these here United States movie theaters on this date in 1996. And by the way, when Richard Dreyfuss is asked in interviews what sound does he hate the most, he will tell you an electric guitar. That would be irony right there, folks. That would be irony. And I missed this, but on Monday, Kid Rock turned 51. He's hoping to get gift cards from No Bath, Bed, and Beyond. And with that, we say, hey, thanks for listening to the J.C. Corcoran podcast here at jcontheline.com. We put this thing up about 7 o'clock every weekday morning. All you got to do is go to the website, jcontheline.com, and click. But you already know that. I mention that for the benefit of those of you who are going to go tell your friends, hey, by the way, you know JC back doing this thing every weekday morning at 7 o'clock? Yeah, let's go to jcontheline.com and click, and it plays. No complicated stuff. You don't have to enter your name. There's no passwords. You don't have to pay anything. Plus, on top of that, we archive everything, so if you miss a podcast, you can go back, or you can binge on the weekend, whatever the case may be. We only talk about politics when it is absolutely unavoidable. You can email me at jc@jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Tomorrow morning at this time, it is going to be awfully, awfully cold. A lot of dead batteries. So let's see how we do tomorrow morning. Have a great day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later, bud.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.